Thank you, Brother David. Sister Bethany. You're turning your Bibles to John 1. John chapter 1. And I'm reading a verse of scripture. But first, around about this time, either in the evening service or in the Wednesday night when I'm out there in the foyer, when Brother Taylor couldn't be here, I would see him pop up on Facebook watching us live. Gonna miss that. excuse me. John 1:29 says that. The next day, Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Which take away the sin of the world. You know, I wrote some notes down, but sorry, I'm not an emotional guy. He hasn't got a promotion this morning, and that's the place we all got to go. The title message is the good news, and he's a recipient of the good news today. And here it's talking about Jesus being the Jesus being the Savior of the world. It says, this is John the Baptist speaking, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world." And John was the messenger. So I got 3 points I'm going to give you. The true messenger, true message, what do you do with the message afterwards? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Father, I just thank you for being in your house. Thank you for all that are here. I know we're small, but Father, our church has made a big impact. And Father, I just thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for Pastor Garner's leadership. I thank you for all the people that are here today. Father God, just pray, Lord, that you go with the Taylor family and just be with them. Father God, we know he got a promotion today, this morning, and we just thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for the people who we come in contact with, because we never know when that time is going to come for us, and I just thank you and praise you. In praise your name. Amen. Excuse me. In John chapter 1, I'm going to go into John verse 1, and I'm going to read some scripture for you. It says here, in the beginning, the Word was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It says, all things were made by him. Without him, there wasn't anything made. In him was life, and that light of men. So when I talk about a true messenger of the good news, well, first, if you got good news, you have to have a messenger to relay that news. So what does the messenger do? The messenger sends out the news. He doesn't speak upon himself. He speaks about it. He basically speaks at the subject at hand. If I'm a math teacher, I talk math problems. If I'm a science teacher, I teach science. But if I'm the messenger of God, My only message is to talk about God. My message is not to talk about self. My message is to talk about Christ. And so, as the messenger alarms the people. He doesn't highlight himself. John pointed some things out. And John said this. He said, in verse 14, in John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then it says that, I'm going to go back, and verse 11 says, "He came into his own, and also his own did not receive him." But John made a claim, and he said this. He said, "He was not that light, but he was sent witness to, he was sent to bear witness of that light. He was sent from God, and he leaped in his mother's womb." From day one, God knew who John the Baptist was actually going to be. He came to prepare the way, but he was not the one. He said, "I'm not worthy to basically lace up his shoe. I am not worthy, but I came to prepare a way." So you as a messenger, you and I as a messenger of Christ, we're telling people about Christ. Christ was before him. He was preferred before him, as John said. Preferred before me. However, being that messenger, you have to be humble. And John was humble enough to talk about himself, about Jesus. John had a weird diet. He ate locusts and wild honey. And I think that was like the first keto diet in the Bible, but he ate locusts and wild honey. And he bellowed out, "Repent. Behold, behold," what he's saying is, behold, he's presenting Christ to you. Behold, he's speaking about the Son of Man. And he's speaking about him in such a way that you would want to believe him. If you're confident about the subject you're speaking about, you will speak boldly about it. If you're a true practitioner of your craft, Kelly, Brother Jim is a directional driller. If you tell them that they're out of death, he's sure they're out of death. He speaks boldly about it because he knows it. Because he's experienced in it. Because that's what he was designed to do as far as his job. John the Baptist was sure that he was sent to prepare the way for Christ, and that's what he did. And he preached boldly out in the wilderness. But however, the prophecy was fulfilled that it would be John the Baptist if you return to me in Malachi 3. It says here in Malachi 3, in verse 1-3, and this is actually referring to John the Baptist. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like refiner's fire. He is and like full of soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, as they may offer unto the Lord any offering of righteousness." So here you have the prophecy of John the Baptist fulfilled when he appeared on the scene. And as you go back to John in John 1, it says here that John bear witness of him crying, said, "This was him who I spake." And I'm in verse 15. "He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." So he's saying that he's always been. I could prepare a way, but he is still before me. We don't understand that sometimes As a Christian, I try to understand God was always there. He was always there. There's no beginning, there's no end, because he is the beginning and he is the end. We have a birth date. And we have a, unfortunately, you know, at the end of time, we will have that mark on our tombstone. We have a birth date. I was born in 1977. But Christ has always existed. So when he says that he cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, and he had declared him. John was declaring, this is the Son of Man. This is whom? I'm the messenger. I'm just a messenger. I'm telling you, this is the Christ. This is the one. This is the anointed one. This is the one that I came to prepare a way for. So as the messenger of the good news, you should be excited about Christ and speak boldness about Christ and have confirmation. But that was John's duty. And our duty is to share that same gospel to everybody else. John stuck to one message and he preached it again in verse 35. It says here chapter 1, 35, it says, "And the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus, and he walked and said, Behold, the Lamb of God." The same message, short and sweet. So when you go knock on the door or you talk to someone, you don't have to have a long, drawn-out speech about what you're going to say. Just speak the truth that Jesus saves. And I know the way. He's the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, but yet by through him. If you say that, and you show them the way. John was able to show people the way just by speaking boldly. He had influence on the people that was around him. In verse 37, he had influence on them. It says, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. You have friends that if you influence, or you have any influence over, and you speak to them about Jesus Christ, they're more likely to believe you if you have influence on them. If they see you excited about Christ, jumping up and down, it bleeds off on them. It's a true testament of a young lady that was saved here during pastor's anniversary. He preached the word. He preached the word. She heard it, and she acted upon it. And she was saved. So, when we talk about that great promotion, one day we will get that promotion. But however, we're talking about the good news. And in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, if I can turn there real quick, what are we to preach about? What are we to talk about? I'm the messenger. What am I to talk about? Second Corinthians chapter 4. It says here that in verse 5 it says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So let me back up. In verse 3 it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them, shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Preach Christ. Don't preach no other gospel, but preach the true gospel. You have a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses that when they come to your door, they talk about false religion. So you got to understand there's false religion out there that people will preach, and they're sold on it. They're convicted. It's some Muslim extremists that would die for their religion. It's the wrong religion, but they speak it boldly. Some Christians don't speak the religion bold enough for people to believe them. So we have the answer. We're the true messenger, like John the John the Baptist was, we're the true messengers of Christ. Christ's word doesn't get out unless it's by us. We can't keep it to ourselves in these four walls. We have to spread it. And the only way to spread it is to preach Christ. Is to preach Christ. One thing that John said that is very profound. I'm not going to have you turn there. But in John 3:30, something I pray all the time, it says that he must increase, but I must decrease. It can't be all about yourself and your accolades. When you come up here and you speak, or you talk to someone, or you preach, it shouldn't be about your accolades and your accomplishment. It shouldn't be about what Jesus Christ has done for you. It shouldn't be about this or that, or I'm making this kind of money, I'm doing this, I got a PhD in this, in theology. You should be preaching Christ. And you should let Christ increase in you while you decrease. Because you got to die to self every day. If you die to yourself every day and not be arrogant and boastful and just preach Christ. And you will get more people to listen to you if you just preach Christ. Talk about him. Brag on him. You know, when President Trump came to Midland, Texas, what did the town do? They prepared. They had security. They did all this stuff. Everybody's running around. They had like 100 cops running around. First time you ever see them in the cops out, right? Running around, doing everything to prepare the way for a president. But what are you doing to prepare a way for Christ? Because when the Olympics come to a certain city or a certain town, and that town is going to make a lot of money, they clean up that town. They prepare that town because they know if the Olympics coming, this is record-breaking profits for us. So that's why we see the Olympics in Atlanta or you see them in a big city. That big city does it years ahead of time because they announce it years ahead of time. The Olympics in Tokyo, the Olympics in New York, and they prepare the way. Just like you would when there's a guest in your house, you prepare the way. Prepare the way for Christ's second coming. We'll be caught up in a rapture, but we got to prepare the way and alarm people that Christ is coming again. And I love what Brother Taylor told one of his rallies. He said, don't worry about me. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I'm going to see my wife. He was confident that what the messenger preached, pastor preached, the good news that he preached, he was confident to know I'm going to be all right. And they said he died peacefully. So we should be thankful. It's sad, but we should be thankful that he knew where he was going. Peacefully. And that's what we want to assure people that, hey, do you know where you're going to end up when you're going to die? Yes, you can make all the money you can. You get all the degrees you can. But do you know where you're going when you close your eyes? What about the message? The message is Christ. You have a messenger with yourself, the message which is Christ. Do you know where you're going? Have you talked to a relative? Do you know where you're going? Some of you have friends that you are close to and you know they're going to split hell wide open. Have you talked to them about where they're going? We lost in the past 2 weeks in Midland, Texas, we lost 6 people to vehicle accidents. 6 or 7. And I've seen the age of some of these people. They're not old. So when you come in contact with somebody, ask them, do you know where you're going? If you're shy, leave a track on the table. Leave a track on the door. But you plant that seed and let God water it. But it says here, you have to be the true messenger. John knew his position. He knew what he was doing. He said, I am not him. That's one thing that we can learn is we're not Christ. So don't act like you're Christ and tell somebody, you're going to split hell wide open up. You can't judge him. You bring him to the judge, but you can't judge him. Amen? So again, when you're talking Christ and when you're speaking to someone and you're doing your daily work, your daily job, preach Christ. The true message was repent. Repent and turn away. He declared that Jesus was the Lamb of God. If you turn with me to John 9:25. So this is a blind man. So Jesus healed a blind man, and the Pharisees came up. And I'm going to tell you about the Pharisees, right? Whenever Jesus did something, the Pharisees was there. Just like when you knock on somebody's door, and I call them Pharisees, but there's always some type of distraction. There's always some type of distraction. When you're trying to share Christ with somebody, there's always a Pharisee around. Oh, are you sure? Are you sure about your Christ? You sure? Because that's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees was bugging this man. They asked his parents. You know the story. Jesus healed a blind man here. And one simple verse, he said, listen. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. Jesus made me whole. That's all I know. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. I was destined for hell, but now I'm saved. That's all I know. And he's the way. He's the truth and life. Like the Samaritan lady said, come see a man that know all about me, basically. He know all about me. And so when you know people in your group, you tell people about Christ. He said, only Jesus can take away sin. That's what John said. He said, behold the man, the son. Behold the only person that can take away the sin of the world. He pinned the sin of the world on him. The sin of the world. I'm going to read a verse for you. I don't want you to turn there. But in 1 Peter, I'm going to read verse 19 to 20. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So it was already written. The lamb that was slain. He was slain before the world. So in the Old Testament, they talk about sacrifices. And in Exodus, they all talked about each family had to bring a lamb that was free of blemish. But we don't have to do that anymore because the lamb was slain before the world, the only one, Jesus Christ. So you don't have to do no more sacrifices, no more blood sacrifices, no more putting the blood on the windows. So that, are the adult poles so that he'll pass by? No, none of that. The lamb was slain. He completed it. John said that he's the only one that can take care of the sin of the world. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Jehovah, not any of these Confucians or whoever this guy is, Buddha, the fat guy, none of those guys. Only Jesus can take away the sin of the world. And that's what he did. So again, you have to understand, and you have to grasp this. Our life is but a vapor, and we heard that last Sunday. Our life is but a vapor. We're only here for a little while. And we have to give an account for our life and what we do with our life. You have the message. You're the messenger. What are you going to do with it? Because if you have some good news to share, that you got a new job, you got a raise, or somehow you won the lottery, but you didn't play it right, you would probably share that because it's good news. Hey, I got a promotion. Hey, guess what? I can retire. I made some investments, and now, guess what? I can retire. Or guess what? Somebody's getting married, and they send out invitations. Just like we put pastor on the billboard, right? We send an invitation for people to come, for people to show up. You know, we made phone calls. We did emails. We did Facebook. We contacted people that we knew in our network. That's all you have to do for Christ is contact people in your network. Your network gets bigger and it's getting bigger and bigger. All you have to do is contact people in your network that are not saved and ask them about Christ. Drop them a text every now and then. But again, it says that without blemish. Without blemish. The only person that can take away the sins of the world. I have something to read for you. It says here, the end of our ministries and ordinances is to bring men to look to Jesus, both whom both whom are before and whom are after. It says that we must take in the same direction. John was before, Jesus was before, and again, John came to prepare the way. But it says we must be able to give the message. And the last part is the true reception of the message. To believe and to acknowledge that Jesus can actually heal us and make us clean. And to follow Jesus and to abide in him and to tell others about Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 40, it says here, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's Peter brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So you see, he shared the gospel. He told his brother, hey, guess what? We found the Christ. We found him. And then in verse 42, he says, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted a stone. And it says that day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, follow me. So again, you have a messenger, you have a message, now you have an action. Follow me. Abide in me. Be there with me. Take action. So again, when you're telling the message, somebody's going to receive the message and they may reject it. But your job is to spread that message. And I end with this, John 20. In John chapter 20, in verse 31, verse 30. You had John the Baptist, you have a messenger. And these are one of the most profound things in John, and basically says here, and, you know, when it talks about the signs and all, it says many other signs truly that Jesus, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe in Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name. So the purpose of the message, whether the messenger and the message, is this right here. It's to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye may have life through his name. Because when you close your eyes, you want to tell somebody, hey, it's okay, don't worry about me. I know where I'm going. That is profound. I know where I'm going. That's called dying grace. And that's what Pastor preached about Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, knowing that you know that you know that you know. Because when that time comes, you got to tell your family, hey, I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I'm going home. Let's stand and be dismissed. Brother David, if you dismiss.